A good avach. Welcome to the Shir and Project Likut HaSichas. Today we're going to learn Chelek Yotes, Sicha Aleph of Parshas HaZinu. The Sicha that we're going to learn today revolves around two Rashis, one of them in Parshas Nitzavim, and one of them in the beginning of Parshas HaZinu. So even though the Sicha is on Parshas HaZinu and begins with the Rashi on Parshas HaZinu, just for clarity's sake, I want to first preface with the Rashi of Parshas Nitzavim, so we have it in order and the way it is in the Torah. So at the end of Parshas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yutes, there's a Pasuk that says Moshe is speaking to the Yidden, and he's describing to them that if they don't do what Hashem wants, then they're going to get punished, and the different punishments that the Pasuk describes there. So Pasuk Yutes over there says, Moshe tells the Yidden, Ha'idoisi b'chem ha'yoyim es ha'shamayim v'sa'aretz, I've made witnesses today, heaven and earth, that they're going to testify against you. They're going to be the witnesses here. They're going to be witnesses that ha'chayim v'hamoves nasati lofanach, I've given you Chayim and Mavis, life and death, Habracha ve'aklala, blessings and curses, and it's up to you to decide what to choose. Ubacharta b'chayim, you should choose life. L'man tichyat v'zarecha, in order to merit for life for you and zarecha and your progeny and your children. So Rashi over here quotes the words Aidoisi b'chem ayoyim es hashmayim v'esaretz. That Moshe tells the Yidden that the heaven and earth are going to be witnesses, and Rashi explains, why did Moshe make heaven and earth witnesses? So Rashi gives us two explanations here. Number one, Shehem Kayamim Lo'olam, they're around forever. And when something is going to happen to the Yidden, so these witnesses, the heaven and the earth, they're going to be witnesses that I warned you. And because they're going to be witnesses that I warned you, you're not going to have any, seemingly means you're not going to have any excuses. Another explanation, says Rashi, why Hashem says, I doisi b'chem, I made them witnesses. So Hashem was really trying to teach the Yidden a lesson. Again, what's the lesson of here? Not so much that they're going to testify that Hashem warned the Yidden, but more that they're going to be a lesson for the Yidden, an inspirational lesson to learn from Shemayim V'aretz. Shemayim V'aretz were created to serve the Yidden, both Shemayim and Aretz, and you don't see that either one of them changed their behavior. The sun doesn't not rise on the east one day and give light to the whole world. The earth doesn't choose to not provide plants when you plant. In other words, when you plant something, it grows. And the earth doesn't change, and the heavens don't change either. Now, even though for the heaven and the earth, they have nothing to gain by doing their job, if they do something in Mekabim Sky, they don't get reward for it, and they don't get punished if they do something wrong. Nevertheless, they don't change anything. In other words, even though there's no benefit to them to change their behaviors or to stick with their behaviors, they don't do anything, they don't change. The Yidden, who do stand to benefit if they do the right thing, and they do stand to lose if they do the wrong thing, how much more so the Yidden have to be careful not to change their behavior and do the wrong thing of what Hashem does not want them to do. So these are the two explanations why Shemayim V'aretz were chosen to be the witnesses in Parshas Nitzavim. That's what Rashi says in Parshas Nitzavim. Fast forward to Parshas HaZinu, the opening words of Parshas HaZinu. Rashi starts off the words, HaZinu HaShemayim V'adabera. The Pasuk starts, HaZinu HaShemayim V'adabera. Listen up, heavens, and I'm going to speak. V'tishma HaAretz Imrei Fi. And the earth should listen, imrei fi, to the words of my mouth. Says Rashi, hazinu hashamayim. Rashi quotes the first two words of the pasuk. And Rashi says, listen, and Rashi says as follows, listen that I'm warning the Yidden, and you are going to be witnesses to the fact that I'm warning the Yidden, because that's what I told the Yidden, that you are going to be the witnesses, you're going to be the witnesses that I spoke to them. So in other words, Rashi says over here that Moshe is speaking to the heavens, telling them that I warned the Yidden, and you're going to be witnesses that I warned the Yidden, because I already told the Yidden I'm going to make you the witnesses. Where did Moshe tell the Yidden that they're going to be the witnesses? Again, so here we have the pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayelech that says, so when we read it simply, it seems like Rashi's going back to what we said earlier in Parshas Nitzavim. Again, the same pasuk we just quoted, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yotes, where Moshe says, I'm going to make them witnesses against you. So when we read Rashi over here in Parshas HaZinu, Rashi seems to be saying that Moshe is telling the heavens and earth that I'm making you witnesses, just like I told the Yidden in Parshas Nitzavim that I'm going to make you witnesses. V'chein v'tishma ha'aretz, and the same thing is true, v'tishma ha'aretz, the earth should listen, because I made the earth a witness, and they are supposed to be my witnesses, and I told the Yidden that the earth is going to be the witness. Why did Moshe make heaven and earth a witness? So Rashi says, Omar Moshe, Moshe said, I am flesh and blood. Today I'm here and tomorrow I'm gone. Right? These parashiyos Moshe said right before he passed away. Zayin Adar. So Moshe says, today I'm here, tomorrow I'm gone. If the Yidden are going to say, we didn't accept upon ourselves this bris, this covenant between us and Hashem, the Yidden didn't accept it upon ourselves, who's going to come and say that the Yidden are wrong? Who's going to say, no, you did accept it upon yourself? Therefore, Moshe had to have witnesses who are going to testify and make sure that the Yidden don't have that excuse. So Moshe had Shemayim Va'aretz, heaven and earth, be the witnesses. There are witnesses that are around forever. That's number one. Continues Rashi Va'oid, and more so, if the Yidden are going to merit, the witnesses themselves are going to give them their reward. In other words, the Geffen, Rashi quotes a pasuk over here, the Geffen will give, the vineyards will give their fruit, and the earth will give its yivul, will give its produce, and the heavens will give their dues. In other words, the witnesses themselves, they'll be the first ones standing in line to give the Yidden the reward if they deserve it. And if the Yidden don't do what they're supposed to do, so then, as if they're going to be guilty, then as the pasuk says, Yad ha'edim, the Edim, the witnesses, they will be the first ones to provide the punishment. They're going to hold back the rains, they're going to hold back the produce from the earth, and then the Yidden are going to get punished. In other words, that the heaven and earth are going to serve as witnesses, and they're going to give either the reward or the punishment. So these are the two Rashis. One Rashi in Parshas Nitzavim that gives us two explanations why Moshe made heaven and earth witnesses. Rashi over here that gives us two other explanations of why Moshe made heaven and earth witnesses. These are the Rashis that this Sicha is going to revolve about. So let's get into it. Now, going into the Pasuk of Parshas Hazinu, the Pasuk starts off saying Hazinu HaShamayim, and Rashi says, what do the heaven and earth have to listen to? Listen that I made you witnesses. Why do you have to listen? Because I'm listening, I'm warning the Yidden, because I made you witnesses. Why is it important for Rashi to tell us why the heaven and earth have to listen? In other words, that the heaven and earth listening of this Pasuk is because they are witnesses. We understand why Rashi has to say that. Because seemingly the rest of the Pesukim are not directed at the heaven and the earth, it's directed to the Yidden. Moshe is speaking to the Yidden about what type of behavior the Yidden have to do. So if that's the case, what's Moshe speaking to the heaven and earth for? Who needs the heaven and earth in the conversation? So the answer is, Rashi says, so the answer to that is, then no. The reason why Moshe speaks to the heaven and the earth is because they have to be the witnesses to the following conversation. So why Rashi needs to explain to us the purpose of speaking to the heaven and the earth, that they're serving as witnesses, the tiyu atim edim badavar, that they should be the witnesses, that part seemingly we understand. The part that we don't understand over here is, the Rebbe is going to continue to ask three questions over here, the comparison between the Rashi here in Parshas Hazinu versus the Rashi that we had previously in Parshas Nitzavim. The Rebbe asks over here three questions. Question number one is, Rashi and Parshas Nitzavim gave us two explanations. Rashi and Parshas Hazinu gives us two explanations. Now, in Rashi over here begins with a question. Lama heidim shamayim v'aretz. Why did Moshe make them witnesses? Now, seemingly, what kind of question is that? We already said in Parshas Nitzavim just 30 psukim ago. Then the Vayelech is a very short parsha, 30 psukim. The end of Parshas Nitzavim is 30, 35 psukim ago. The Torah just finished saying that Hashem is going to make, Moshe said that the heaven and earth are going to be witnesses. And Rashi over there gives us two explanations why the heaven and earth are going to be witnesses. So why is it important for Rashi to start with a question in our parsha? Why did Moshe make, you just told me earlier why he made them witnesses. Over there, Rashi gave us two reasons. That's question number one. Question number two is, even if Rashi, for whatever reason, does want to ask the question again and explain it again over here, seemingly over here, Rashi should have been much more brief. Rashi should have said, why are they witnesses? Because X, Y, Z, because whatever reasons he wants to say. But the truth is, that's the other way around. Previously, in Parshas Nitzavim, when it comes to the question, Rashi there is much shorter. Rashi doesn't even ask a question. Rashi just says, I'm making heaven and earth witnesses. Why? Because they're around forever, and if something bad happens to you, they're going to testify. Over here, Rashi has a whole question. Why? Over there, Rashi said it much more brief, and over here, Rashi says it much more at length. The Rebbe's question is, it should have been the other way around. Over there, it should have been more at length, and over here, it should have been brief. Question number two. Question number three is with regard to the second interpretation of this pasuk versus the second interpretation of Parshas Nitzavim. Again, just to recap, the second interpretation of Parshas Nitzavim was that the reason why Hashem is making the heaven and earth witnesses is because the heaven and earth, they don't change their behaviors, because they don't refuse to do what Hashem wants or asks of them, even though there's no benefit for them. They don't gain anything by listening, and they won't lose anything by not listening. Nevertheless, they don't change. How much more so Yidden, who do stand to benefit by listening, for sure they have to listen. So the witnesses, the testimony of the heaven and the earth, is supposed to be a reminder to the Yidden to learn something. Now, over here, in our parasha, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi's second explanation is that the witnesses, they're going to be the first ones to exact punishment from the Yidden. Says the Rebbe, why? In Parshas Nitzavim you gave me two reasons. Why are the two reasons of Nitzavim not good enough to be the same two reasons over here? So the first reason over there and the first reason over here are the same reason. Then in both cases, the reason why they're witnesses is because they last forever. And even after Moshe dies, they're still going to be around. But the second answer of Nitzavim and the second answer over here are two different answers. Says the Rebbe, why did Rashi have to change from Parshas Nitzavim to Parshas Ha'azino? Now, when it comes to the reason of Parshas Nitzavim, why that explanation doesn't belong over here, that we understand. Because there's a subtle difference in the Psukim in Parshas Nitzavim versus Ha'azino. Parshas Nitzavim, Moshe is speaking to the Yidden. So when I'm speaking to the Yidden and I want them to learn a lesson from the heaven and the earth, it makes sense to say to the Yidden, I'm making the heaven and the earth a witness. And the Yidden, who are the audience in Parshas Nitzavim, they're supposed to learn a lesson from Moshe's conversation with them, with the Yidden. In our Parsha, on the other hand, Moshe is not speaking to the Yidden. Moshe is speaking directly to heaven and the earth. So it's not logical to say that Moshe is speaking to the heaven and the earth, and the Yidden are supposed to learn a lesson from the conversation with the heaven and the earth. So the second interpretation of Parshas Nitzavim, that the Yidden are supposed to learn something, that's not really applicable over here in Ha'azino. So it's logical why Rashi doesn't say that interpretation over here. But the second one that he says over here, that they're going to be the first ones to withhold the reward. In other words, like the halacha says, Yad Ha'edim Tiyaboy Barishayin, that when somebody does an avera, the witnesses are the first ones to exact punishment, which Rashi says over here, that interpretation seemingly would have been fun in Parshas Nitzavim as well. So why over there does Rashi not say the second explanation? Only over here Rashi does say it. So that's the third question. So these are the three questions that Rashi has, again, in the comparison and the contrast between the Rashi and Parshas Nitzavim about the heaven and the earth being witnesses, versus the Rashi and Parshas Ha'azinu about the witnesses of heaven and earth in Parshas Ha'azinu. Then the Rebbe continues and the Rebbe asks to diyukim in the words of the way Rashi says over here in Parshas Ha'azinu. Rashi says, he says to the, again, the Pasuk is speaking to the heavens and the earth, Hazinu HaShamayim, you should listen that I'm warning the Yidden. And Rashi continues and says, and I want you to be witnesses, because I told the Yidden that you're going to be witnesses. In other words, Rashi makes clear that Hashem, that Moshe tells the heavens and the earth that I already told the Yidden that you're going to be my witnesses, therefore be witnesses. Says the Rebbe, who cares? Why is it important over here to know that the heaven and earth should be aware that the Yidden know that they're going to be witnesses? Okay. Now, you might want to say the reason is because if you don't warn them, if the Yidden aren't aware that the heaven and earth are going to be witnesses, then you can't be witnesses. The truth, but that's not true. Halacha says they're allowed to be witnesses, even if the Yidden are not aware that the heaven and the earth are being witnesses, they're witnesses anyways. Now, it's also and that's the halacha. So why was it important for the heaven and the earth to know, as Rashi says, the tiyu atim edim badavar, you should become witnesses? Why? Because that's what I told the Yidden. Who cares? Why over here is it important for us to know that Moshe already had spoken to the Yidden about this beforehand? That's number one. Number two, a second diuk. Rashi says the Yidden are going to say, we never signed on to the bris. Bris meaning a covenant. So therefore, the heaven and the earth are going to be able to come and say, it's not true. You did sign on to the bris. Over here, Rashi uses the word bris. He doesn't say mitzvahs, Torah. He says bris. Bris meaning that there's a covenant over here. What exactly is Rashi's meaning with the word bris in this particular Rashi? Now, in order to understand this, it's already clear to us that the Rebbe is going to introduce that over here in Parshas Ha'azinu, Moshe is trying to do something different than whatever we did previously in Parshas Nitzavim. The testimony of Parshas Nitzavim is one thing, and the testimony of Parshas Ha'azinu is something else entirely. In order for the Rebbe to introduce what's the new, novel testimony that's taking place over here, the Rebbe begins by first introducing another question. The question is, again, the question is whether the Ha'idoisi of Parshas Nitzavim and the Ha'azinu HaShamayim over here, whether the heavens and the earth listening in Parshas Nitzavim, the heaven and the earth listening over here, is one and the same thing. When you read the Parsha, you know, superficially, you just read, okay, so over there in Nitzavim, Moshe says to the Yidden that I made the heaven and the earth testimony. You come over here to our Parsha and it seems that Hashem is speaking to the heaven and the earth and telling them that I'm making you witnesses. So it seems as though it's one continuation. Whatever Moshe said over there is the same thing that he's saying over here. Whatever he said over there to the Yidden, he's saying over here to the heavens and the earth. In other words, it's one long story and one long testimony. Says the Rebbe, but in truth, you can't really say that. Why can't you say that? Because Hazinu is introducing a whole new parsha. Hazinu Hashemayim is starting off with a whole new conversation. Moshe is starting a new parsha, a new theme to the Yidden, and seemingly what the heaven and the earth are listening to in Parshas Hazinu and testifying to is different than what Moshe told the Yidden in Parshas Nitzavim, U'bacharta b'chayim, l'man tichyata v'zarecha, ha'chayim v'amavis nasati l'fonecha, the choice, the general idea of making a choice, that is not part of Hazinu. That's not what's mentioned in Parshas Hazinu as far as what the testimony of the heaven and the earth are saying. So seemingly, it's two different things. So what Moshe tells the Yidden in Parshas Nitzavim is not the same thing that he's telling the heaven and the earth in Parshas Hazinu. So the Rebbe says, you're right, it's true. Why? Because what Moshe is going to start off in teaching the Yidden in Parshas Hazinu is really something new. And this is where the Rebbe's answer begins to understand what's new in Parshas Hazinu. But before we get to understanding what's new in Parshas Hazinu, the Rebbe takes a moment and says, let's spend a few minutes discussing the word Eidos. The word that the Torah uses to describe what the role of Shemayim Va'aretz, the heaven and the earth, and this whole story is, the Torah uses the word ha'idoisi, you're becoming witnesses. Rashi over here says, shetiyu edim adover, you're going to be witnesses. So seemingly, it's the same thing, right? Witnesses. So the Rebbe says, no, it's not so simple. Let's take a minute and analyze in the Torah what the word witness, what the word edos really means. Says the Rebbe, the first and most basic level of edos in the Torah doesn't have to be testimony. Edos means something which is a sign for something else. A sign, a symbolic sign for something else. What would be an example? An example of this would be something that we just read on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we just read, a few days ago in Shul, we read the story of Avraham and Avimelech. They made a shavua, they made a vow, an oath between the two of them. And Avraham tells Avimelech that he's giving him 7 sheep. So Avimelech asks, Mohino Sheva Kvasa Israela, what are these 7 sheep that you're giving me? And Avraham answers, I'm giving it to you, Bavur Tia Lila Eda, I'm giving it to you as an Eda. Again, Eda meaning a testimony, a witness. I'm giving it to you as a testimony that I dug up the well. In other words, the well that they were arguing over. Avraham says, by the way, I dug the well, not you. The sign that I dug the well is that I'm giving you these 7 sheep. Okay? The 7 sheep that Avraham gave Avimelech have absolutely nothing to do with the well. The 7 sheep are not announcing anything. They're not saying anything. Okay? Not only that, they don't even last. How long are those sheep going to live? 7 sheep. How long do 7 sheep live? What's the life of a sheep? So sure not going to live as long as Avimelech. Avraham lived 175 years. Sheep don't live 175 years long. So in that case, Avraham gave Avimelech something. First of all, the something that Avraham gave him has absolutely nothing to do with the well. Not only does it have nothing to do with the well, it's something which doesn't even last as long as the well is going to be around, or as long as the people are going to be around. We're fighting over the well. So what does it mean when we say that it's an Eda? Eda means it's a sign. It's an ois, it's a sign, it's a simen. It's a symbolic simen that Avraham dug up the well. That's one level of a simen. It's a very, very basic, of Eidos, of testimony. A very basic level in the Torah. Obviously, going back to the question whether the sheep have to do anything, sheep are not doing anything. They're not doing anything. There's nothing in the character of the sheep that contributes to understanding that they're a sign for anything. It's purely symbolic. Avraham gave 7 sheep, and that's a sign that the well was dug by Avraham. That's one level. A second level, another place in the Torah where we find that something was done as an Eidos. So the Torah tells us a few parshias later, at the end of Parshas Vayetze, the Torah tells us that Yaakov was spent 20 years by his uncle Laban's home, married his 2 daughters, had children there, and after 20 years, Yaakov decided it's time to leave, and Yaakov leaves in the middle of the night. He tells Rachel and Leah, they leave, and then during the course of their travels, Laban finds out, Laban chases them, and after Laban chases them, Laban gets upset at Yaakov for leaving. And then Yaakov explains to them why he left. And then the Torah says that they built a mound of stones, and the mound of stones was going to be the demarcation line. That was the line that Yaakov tells Laban, you don't cross to me, I won't cross to you. And this is going to be the line that neither of us are going to cross. The Torah calls it Gal Eid. Gal means a pile of stones, and Eid means a witness. Gal Eid, Yigar Sahadusa, Gal Eid. So in that case also, the Torah describes the word Gal Eid, Eid HaGal HaZeh, the Torah describes the Gal, the mound of stones, as an Eid, as a testimony. Now, in that case, the stones is a little bit more closely related to the conversation of not crossing that line more than the sheep in the previous story. In this case, at least the mound of stones actually could be a symbolic wall. In other words, it can actually create something, a physical border, a physical separation between two people. So in other words, it's a little bit, it's more closely related to a separation and a mechitza, a wall between two parties. Now, from this we understand, again, with this introduction of understanding how small in the word Eidos in the Torah, when it comes to things serving as Eidos, as witness, it doesn't mean that things have to be coming and saying anything. Symbolic. There's different levels of symbolism of what Eidos in the Torah could mean. And the same thing is true in our case when we go to the Pasuk of Parashas Nitzavim, the first time the Torah mentions that the heavens and the earth are going to be Eidos. What type of Eidos are we talking about? We're not talking about people. People, they say testimony, which is what we know as witnesses, which is when people come and they speak and they recount things that took place in the past, events. Things don't speak in the same way. Things, we don't really have to understand what the Eidos of it is. What is it? Eidos are just random things that can be a symbolism. They don't have to have any connection to what it is that we're talking about. You can have seven sheep, a mound of stones could be Eidim. So if those things could be Eidim, heaven and earth could also be Eidim. So therefore, in Parshas Nitzavim, when Rashi comes and explains the Eidos of the heavens and the earth, the question that Rashi here is coming to address is not why Moshe picked the heaven and the earth to be witnesses. Why? Who cares? Could be any reason. That's not the point. What is it? What is Rashi in Parshas Nitzavim saying? Rashi is only coming to say, what is the Eidos? Eidos means it's a sign for something. What's it a sign for? In the case of the seven sheep, the Torah says it's a sign that Avraham dug the well, not Avimelech. In the case of Yaakov and Lavan, the mound of stones is a sign that we're not going to cross. Over here, Hashem says, this is the sign. This is the sign. This is the sign that what? What's the Eidos? It's a sign for you to know that when something bad is going to happen to you, these are going to be the witnesses. This is the sign that I warned you. If we speak about something which is going to be a sign that Hashem warned us, in other words, that if we choose the wrong thing, we're going to get punished. Like the Pasuk says, there, Bachar to Bachayim, choose life and don't choose death. So obviously we have to have witnesses that are going to last a little bit longer than the seven sheep. Why? Because in the case of the seven sheep, who is it witness for? Who is the sign for these two parties? These two parties are not living forever. These two parties live in a very specific place. The same thing is true, Yaakov and Lavan. The two parties are right over here. When it comes to the choice that the Jewish people are going to make, Jews live in all sorts of places and all sorts of times. So we understand that the symbolism, again, only witnesses a symbolism. But the thing which is a symbolism to the fact that the Yidden are obligated and Hashem warns them to make the right choice is something which should be around for longer. That's why Rashi explains, again, in Parshas Nitzavim, explanation number one says, why did Moshe pick these things? Says Rashi over there, why do we have to have these things as a simon? The reason is because these things are around, lo'olam, these things are around forever, they don't go anywhere. Now, that is explanation number one in Parshas Nitzavim. Explanation number one in Parshas Nitzavim, however, is not good enough. It's not enough, it's not smooth. Not glottic, it's not fully smooth. Why? When is it applicable to say that something serves as symbolism, even though it's got no connection to the theme of what we're talking about? This is only when we are designating something right now in order to be a symbolism. Right now, I have seven sheep. I'm giving you the seven sheep to be a sign. We're creating a mound of stones. That's what we're doing. We're making something for this purpose. In the case of the heaven and the earth, Moshe didn't make heavens, and Moshe didn't make the earth. Heaven and the earth were here from Sheshis and Ebereshis, from the first day of creation. So what exactly is the symbolism that Moshe is doing? There's no act of symbolism. The symbolism is that we did something to make it symbolize something. But there's no symbolism here. So if there's no symbolism, we didn't change anything in the heaven and the earth to make them a symbol for something. So how could that be? So why did Moshe pick the heaven and the earth to be a symbol? Why are they the symbol? So for this comes Rashi and says a second interpretation. That the reason why these things were chosen is not because they're forever. Because again, according to that, we have a question that we didn't change anything. They've also been around forever. And therefore Rashi comes and says, no, the symbolism over here is related specifically to the theme of the heaven and the earth. Not like we thought in the first explanation, the heaven and the earth are not related whatsoever to the point of what they're being a symbol for. No, says Rashi, second explanation, no. Heaven and the earth, they are related to the theme of what's going on over here. What's the theme? The theme is that the Yidden are supposed to learn a lesson from the heaven and the earth. we're teaching you a lesson. So now Moshe is already using something which is around as a lesson. A lesson you don't have to make. The fact that it's a lesson and it's a symbolism for the Yidden, because the theme, thematically, it's related to the content of what he's telling them, that makes sense even if we didn't create it right now. What's the lesson that the Yidden are supposed to learn? The lesson that they're supposed to learn is that if the heaven and the earth never change their behaviors, in other words, they didn't stop doing what Hashem wanted, even though they don't benefit from it, how much more so the Yidden who do benefit from listening to Hashem, how much more so that they should continue to listen to Hashem? So for this, we don't care if it changed or if it didn't change. I didn't make it a symbol. The point is not that I made it a symbol. The point is that it's a lesson for the Yidden to listen to. So Moshe is speaking to the Yidden, he's teaching them a lesson, and they could learn a lesson from the fact that Moshe is mentioning heaven and earth. So it doesn't make a difference, the fact that there's no change in the heaven and the earth's placement as a symbol. So this is the second explanation. What's the problem with the second explanation? Moshe tells the Yidden that I made them a testimony, I'm making them eidos today. According to the second explanation, nothing happened today. And as the fact that the heaven and the earth haven't changed their behaviors has been going on for 3,000 years, or whatever, 2,500 years at that point. So the hayoim, the today, is not really so smooth according to the second explanation. So that's why Rashi leaves this as a second explanation. According to the first interpretation, that Moshe is highlighting a symbolism, the symbolism is that today I'm designating heaven and earth to be the symbol for what I'm trying to tell you. So the hayoim is a little bit more meaning according to the first explanation, and that's why that remains as the first explanation. But this all is the way it works in Parshas Nitzavim. Moshe is speaking to the Jewish people, and he's telling them that the heaven and the earth are going to serve as symbolic witnesses, as a sign that Hashem spoke to the Yidden and warned them, and therefore they have to do what Hashem wants them to do. This is all good over there. In these cases, in both of those types of symbolisms, the heaven and the earth don't have to be aware of anything. No one's talking to the heaven and the earth. We're speaking to the Yidden. Moshe telling the Yidden, between me and you, we have a deal. Moshe and the Yidden, we have a deal. The deal is that Hashem wants you to make the right choice. In order for you to make the right choice, we're setting aside a symbolic thing that they should know about it. Just like the sheep, in the case of Avram, have no idea. They're not aware of what Avram is doing, of the transaction. The stones are not aware of anything that happens between Moshe and between Yaakov and Lavan. No one's talking to the stones. They're talking to each other. So in Nitzavim, again, heaven and the earth are not the audience of Moshe. That's all good. If they're not the audience, then they don't have to be aware of anything that's going on. Comes to the Pasuk Hazinu, here Rashi has a problem. Pasuk starts off Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabera. Moshe is not speaking to the Yidden anymore. Moshe is starting a new parasha, a new conversation, and as the introduction to the new conversation, he tells the Yidden, tells the heavens and the earth, I want you to listen up. Moshe is speaking to Shemayim, and he's speaking to Aretz, heaven and earth, and he's telling them that I want you to listen and to come be an Eidos. The Eidos over here, the testimony over here, doesn't mean the same thing that it means in Nitzavim, that they're going to be symbolically a sign. For that, Moshe doesn't have to speak to the heaven and the earth. They don't have to be aware of it. They're not the audience. Must be that over here, when Moshe is speaking directly to the heaven and the earth, he's speaking to them because they have to be aware of something. In other words, there's a knowledge that they need to be made aware of, and for that, we need their attention. So Moshe tells heavens, I need you to pay attention. Earth, I need you to pay attention because I'm about to speak to you. Who is it that needs to be paying attention? Somebody that has to be aware of information to be able to recount it later has to be paying attention. So from this, Rashi understands that over here, when the Torah says that Moshe told heaven and earth to listen, it's a real testimony. He's taking heaven and earth and he's making them real edim, real witnesses who are going to have to testify to something down the line. So here Rashi has a question. So Rashi starts off saying that what's the reason why Moshe is speaking to the heaven and the earth? Hazinu Hashemayim, listen up. Why? Listen that I'm warning the Yidden. And you're going to be my witnesses. Rashi makes clear. V'tiyu atem edim adavar. You're going to be my witnesses. Right? So Rashi adds those words that you are being witnesses. And I'm not just making symbolic. Listen because I'm talking to you. You have to hear this. Comes Rashi and Rashi says, V'lama heidim Hashemayim v'aretz. What kind of weird witnesses are these? Usually when somebody wants a witness to be aware of something, to be able to recount something, you get people. People have a memory. They can repeat something that they saw, they heard, they remember. Heaven and earth is not people. Why over here did Moshe find such an odd set of witnesses, heaven and earth? So this is the question that Rashi has over here. Now the Rebbe, in a little bracket, the Rebbe says, Rashi's question is not how. In other words, the question is not how heaven and earth could be aware of something. That's not a question. Why? Because the Torah already told us earlier, all the way back in Parshas Bereishis, Rashi already told us earlier that the Desha, that when Hashem was speaking to the grass, Hashem said, he whatever, Tachyar is Desha, that the grass should spring forth, should sprout forth and grow. So Rashi already told us that the grass made a Kal V'Chomer. In other words, they made a Kal V'Chomer. They heard what happened with the trees. And therefore, they made a Kal V'Chomer that if the trees didn't listen and they got punished for it, so we have to listen also. So we already see over there that even something that we don't really expect to have a knowledge and a logic and a process, we already see over there that there's already understanding and havana, there's understanding even when it comes to things that are inanimate that we don't expect it to. So therefore, how they're able to have a hearing with the heaven and the earth? So that's not a question that we already know from earlier. And again, what the explanation is, the Rebbe doesn't even get into over here in this particular sicha, because again, it's not the place here. But the Rebbe just points out that we already have a precedent in the Torah where the Torah already makes clear that there is a logic and a knowledge even in things that are inanimate that seemingly shouldn't be understanding. But so what is the question? The question is not how. The question is why. It seems odd. It's not the way to go about things. Usually witnesses are people. In order to understand this question, says the Rebbe, the two explanations, the two reasons in Parshas Hazinu are coming to answer a different question. The two questions that Parshas Hazinu are coming to answer, why did the Moshe pick the heaven and earth specifically to be witnesses? Again, but the witnesses over here is different than the witnesses over there. The witnesses over there is a whole different type of witnesses. Here in Parshas Hazinu, we're talking about witnesses who have to repeat what happened. Real witnesses, like regular witnesses in Beis Din. So in order to understand why Moshe picked these two to be his witnesses, so Rashi says there are two reasons. Number one, so the Yidden shouldn't be able to deny it. They might be able to say, look, he says, we never accepted upon ourselves the Torah, so we have to have real witnesses to come and say, no, it's not true, you did. So the heaven and the earth should be able to be there and to be able to deny it. That's reason number one. But again, reason number one is not enough about this. Why is reason number one not enough? The problem is because the heaven and the earth don't do any talking. So if there's going to be a question about the heaven, about the Yidden later on denying their acceptance of this bris, so Shemayim Va'aretz should have to be able to come and refute it. How are they able to refute it? How could they do any speaking? Seemingly they can't. So how does the whole thing help us? So because we have this problem, so Rashi comes and he adds. But the Rebbe has an interesting note that the addition, the second piece in Rashi over here, is not a new explanation. Again, the Rebbe points out that in Parshas Nitzavim, when Rashi introduced the second explanation, Rashi uses the words Dover Acher. Dover Acher means another explanation. Says the Rebbe over here, Rashi doesn't say Dover Acher. Rashi says Va'oid, and even more so. More so is not another explanation. It's not a new answer. It's adding explanation to what we already said previously. In case you're wondering why Moshe picked heaven and earth, it's because he needs witnesses, and they're around forever. Not only are they around forever, they're also able to behave like witnesses. Why? Because we know the halacha is that the witnesses have to be the first ones to exact punishment. And in this case, the witnesses, the heaven and the earth, they might not be able to do speaking, which is one thing that we expect of witnesses, but there's something else that they can do as regular witnesses. And that is, if the Yidden behave in the right way, then as witnesses, they're able to provide the Yidden with the bracha that they're supposed to get. And if the Yidden don't behave in the right way, then they're able to withhold the bracha that they're supposed to get. So this is adding explanation in how the Shemayim Va'aretz are behaving as real witnesses. Not a separate question. We're just coming to explain how, what's the context and which method, how is it that Shemayim Va'aretz and heaven and earth are able to be witnesses. Says the Rebbe, according to this we understand that there are two diyukim that we asked. There was two diyukim that we asked earlier. Earlier, the Rebbe mentioned that we are two diyukim that we asked earlier. Question number one is that. So earlier, well, the Rebbe asked the Diuk that Rashi adds when he describes to the Shemayim Va'aretz that they're going to be witnesses. Rashi adds, Shekach amarti lahem sha'atem tiyu edim, that I've told them that you're going to be witnesses. And the Rebbe asked, why is it important for Shemayim Va'aretz to know that Moshe told the Yidden that they're going to be witnesses? Says the Rebbe, it's very simple. Because when you tell Shemayim Va'aretz that they're going to be witnesses, The purpose is not only that the Shemayim V'Aretz should be appointed as witnesses, it's also for the people to know that you have to be careful because there's witnesses about it. So therefore, the value of knowing that there's witnesses is primarily when the witnesses know what they're being testimony to, obviously. But not only that, but also the people who the witnesses are going to be testifying against should also be aware of it. That they should know that these people, they're the witnesses, because if you don't behave, they're going to come. So therefore, Moshe tells Shemayim V'Aretz, you should know that I already spoke to the Yidden about it. Okay, the Yidden should are also knowing about it. So don't think that the Yidden are unaware of what I'm telling you. Says the Pasuk, no, the Yidden absolutely know about it. And that's what Rashi adds, Shekach amarti lahem, this is what I've told them, Sha'atim tiyu edim, that you're going to be my witnesses. Now, according to this, says the Rebbe, we understand something else, and I'm going to go straight to the answer on what the Rebbe says here. Says the Rebbe, according to this, Parshas Nitzavim and Parshas Hazinu are two very different things. Parshas Hazinu is only the witnesses, the heaven and the earth being Edom in Nitzavim, is a sign. It's a sign like anything else is a sign. It's a symbolic thing. Over here, it's real testimony. So it comes out that for whatever Moshe said in Parshas Nitzavim, we don't really have witnesses for it. We only have a symbolic witness, but there's no real witnesses, because for that, Moshe never appointed heaven and earth to be witnesses. Says the Rebbe, yes, and it's true. Why? Because over here, when Rashi says that I spoke to the Yidden and I told them, in other words, when Rashi tells heaven and earth that I already had spoken to the Yidden, when did Moshe already speak to the Yidden? Not in Parshas Nitzavim. Says the Rebbe, we're referencing a different pasuk over here. Which pasuk are we referencing? We're referencing a pasuk right at the end of Parshas Vayelach. Again, this is the parsha we read just last week. And in Parshas Vayelach, all the way at the end, it says that Moshe tells the Yidden about, Moshe gathers the elders of the Yidden, and Moshe tells them, Moshe gathers the elders and he tells them that I'm going to make the heaven and the earth witnesses against you. Says the Rebbe, when at the beginning of Parshas Hazinu it says that Hashem told the heaven and the earth that the Yidden know that you're witnesses, we're not referencing Parshas Nitzavim, because like we just described the whole Sicha, that's a whole different story. We're referencing something that we just mentioned previously in Parshas Vayelech. That is the place where Hashem spoke to the Eden and told them, Moshe spoke to the Eden and told them, by the way, I'm about to make heaven and earth witnesses against you. And that's the continuation straight in Parshas Hazinu. What's the reason? Why Taka is there two separate types of witnesses, one for Parshas Nitzavim and one for Parshas Hazinu? So here the Rebbe explains that really the content of Parshas Nitzavim and the content of Hazinu is really two separate things. The content of Hazinu is not a lot in Nitzavim. It's not a lot of detail. It's a very, very general terms. Moshe says, "I'm giving you choices: Chaim and Moves, Toiv and Ra, good and bad, life and death. Choose right." In other words, a very general description of what Moshe wants the Yidden to do. To listen to Hashem, doesn't get into the nitty gritty details. Where does he get into to much more detail? Much more detail we find primarily in Parshas Hazinu. Hazinu goes into a lot of details of what Hashem wants of the Yidden, what he doesn't want of them, the types of behaviors that are acceptable, the types of behaviors that are not acceptable. Again, pretty poetic stuff, but there's a pretty interesting description over here of behaviors that are to be expected and behaviors that are not to be expected. Says the Rebbe, we understand that when you say something in a very general term, you don't have to have a whole witness and everything. It's a general conversation. I'm telling you to do what I'm telling you to do. Symbolically, these are the witnesses to what I'm telling you to do. Over here in Parshas Hazinu, there's much more detail. Says the Rebbe, when it comes to the detail, you need much more. That's the much stronger certainty that the Eden actually accepted it. And that's why Rashi, first of all, says the word bris. One of the questions the Rebbe had is, why does Rashi say bris, a covenant? Because the covenant means, highlights, that there's more detail over here. And for the more detail, we have to make sure that there's a real covenant and a real acceptance on the part of the Yidden to what we're talking about. But not only that, you also have to have real witnesses to it. And that's why only in Parshas Hazinu do we have to have real witnesses, Atem Edai, as Rashi says, that the heaven and earth will be real Edom, real witnesses to the content of Parshas Hazinu. Up until this point, the first section of the Sicha, where the Rebbe speaks about the Rashis in Pshuto Shel Mikra, explaining the Rashis in the Psukim, why over there Rashi says one thing, over there Rashi says something else. Rashi over there is speaking about one type of symbolic signs, and over here Rashi is speaking about real witnesses. At this point, the Rebbe moves on to the second section of the Sicha, which is two interesting halachic notes that we derive from Rashi. And then at the end, there's going to be a third section, which is going to be the Chassidus of the interpretation of Rashi. So let's go to the second piece, which is the halacha. The Rebbe has two interesting halachic notes from Rashi. So, number one, the Rebbe addresses, let's go to the Dibra Maschil, the opening words of the Rashi. Rashi quotes in the Pasuk only Hazinu Hashamayim. Rashi over here is only speaking to the heaven, even though seemingly the same thing that's applicable to the heaven is also applicable to the earth. Seemingly, when you read it at first glance, you think that the heaven and the earth are the two witnesses, right? We know in the Torah, Shnayim Edim Yakum Davar, you have to have two witnesses. We assume that the witnesses over here are the heavens and the earth. Says the Rebbe, if that's the case, so when Rashi says over here, Hazinu, the Torah, Moshe speaks to the heavens and he speaks to the earth, seemingly Moshe says two different things. When it comes to the heavens, Rashi says, Hazinu. When it comes to the earth, when it comes to the heavens, Moshe says, Hazinu. When it comes to the earth, Moshe says, V'tishma. So seemingly these two don't even combine as witnesses. Why? Because Halacha says, in order for two people to be witnesses, they have to see the same thing. They have to be able to testify to the same thing. They have to be told the same information. But if Moshe is speaking one thing to the heavens, Hazinu. To the earth, he says, V'tishma, something else. In order for them to be witnesses, seemingly Moshe has to speak to both of them equally. So how do we have witnesses over here? Says the Rebbe, the answer is, according to Rashi, that's not the case. Rashi here intentionally only quotes the words Hazinu Hashamayim, listen up heavens, and he says, V'tiyu Atem Eidim, you, Atem, plural, should be Eidim. Who's the Atem, the you, the plural? Only the heavens, because Rashi's not speaking about the earth yet. So what do we see from Rashi? We see from Rashi that when Rashi says, that Moshe says, Hazinu Hashamayim, listen up heavens, the Shemayim already on their own right are two witnesses. Why is that? Because we know in Halacha, we know from the Rama that there's more than one heaven, there's seven different levels of heaven. And Rashi already mentioned this earlier also in Parshas Yisroi, Rashi says this, and in Noach, Rashi said earlier that there's numerous heavens. So when the Torah says, Hazinu Hashamayim, that the heavens are witnesses, the heavens is one set of witnesses. Later on, Rashi continues and he says, V'chein v'tishma aretz. The same thing is true when he says, listen up earth. What does it mean when he says, listen up earth? It doesn't mean the whole earth is one witness along with the whole heaven. No, the earth is also multiple witnesses. Why? Because the earth is also made up of numerous lands, numerous dry land. Each piece of aretz is a different witness. Why? Because this continent is one, this continent is another one. Because each continent, each earth, each landmass has its own ability to be its own witness in the context of exacting punishment, of providing land, of providing planting, etc. So therefore, we have two separate witnesses, or two separate groups of witnesses. We have Hazinu Hashamayim, the heavens, plural, one set of witnesses. And when it comes to Tishma Ha'aretz, also is plural. The Pasuk says Aretz number one, in singular, but Rashi says V'chein, V'tishma Aretz, the same thing applies to Aretz, that the Aretz also is really two separate sets of witnesses. That's one interesting halachic note, that the heavens and the earth are two separate sets of witnesses. Another note the Rebbe says over here, in order to make somebody a witness, they have to accept to be a witness. Where do we see in the Torah that the Torah says over here that the heavens and the earth accepted? Moshe says, listen up, I'm talking to you. Who says I want to be a witness? So the Rebbe says the answer is alluded to in something that Rashi adds. Rashi adds, and he tells the heavens and the earth, by the way, you should know that I already spoke to the Yidden about you. Where did Moshe speak to the Yidden? And letting the Yidden know that I'm going to make the heaven and the earth witnesses. So the Rebbe already told us earlier that it's a reference to the end of Parshas Vayelech. The end of Parshas Vayelech, the Torah tells us that Moshe said, Hakilu Eli, gather to me all the elders of the Yidden. Who's the elders of the Yidden? The Beis Din. So Moshe calls the elders of the Yidden to him, and he tells them that I'm going to make the heaven and the earth witnesses. Says the Rebbe, why? What's the significance of the hakel, of the gathering that we had at the end of Parshas Vayelech? The answer is, because when Hashem made heaven and earth, when Moshe made the heavens witnesses and the earth witnesses, he did it through the Beis Din. And the Beis Din can force somebody to be a witness. The Beis Din has the ability to have an effect on the heavens and earth that they should be a witness. Not only do they have the ability to make them as witnesses, in other words, that they should be forced to testify, they also have the ability to force them to be able to exact punishment later on, because when the courts decide, when the Beis Din decides that somebody's guilty, so the witnesses have to do their job of Yadu Eidim Tiyabai Barishayna, for the witnesses to be able to exact that punishment. So therefore, everything which is done in Beis Din Again, Hakilu Eli, when Moshe gathered the elders, everything was done in Beis Din. This is, first of all, a guarantee that they're going to be witnesses, and number two, a guarantee that they're going to do their job when it comes to exacting the punishment, exacting the revenge, whatever it is from the Yidden, that they're going to do it. So these are the two halachic notes that we take from the way Rashi writes his interpretation. Then the Rebbe moves on to the third section, and the third section is the Chassidus piece, the Yenish al Torah, the wine of the Torah, the Chassidus interpretation over here. What's the Chassidus interpretation of it that we have to pay attention to? So we have to remember here that the Rebbe explained to us that Rashi understands that there's two separate things happening. One thing happening in Nitzavim, something else happening in Hazinu. In Parashas Nitzavim, there's a general acceptance of the Torah. When it comes over here, we have a bris, we have a covenant for the details. Now, what's the difference, again, according to Chassidus, between what's going on in general fulfillment of Torah and the bris, the covenant over here, for which we need to have full testimony? So when it comes to doing, generally speaking, Torah mitzvahs, so it's not possible for a Yid to say, I'm not doing anything. I don't accept Torah mitzvahs. Why? Because the only way a Yid can make a mistake is when a Yid tells himself, even though I made a mistake, I'm still good. Right? Even though I made a mistake, then it'll be adusa. Even if I did something wrong, I'm still a firm Yid. Says the Rebbe, that's not a real mistake, because every Yid understands that the minute I drop everything, again, going back to Nitzavim is a very general description, b'chayta b'chayim, choose life. A Yid knows that if he rejects everything, then there's no argument that I'm still a good Yid. You rejected everything. So for that, says the Rebbe, you don't have to have a real testimony. A reminder, a symbolic reminder is enough to wake up a Yid and to remind him. That's all that's needed for the Yid to snap out of it, so to say. In our parasha, we're not speaking about general Torah mitzvahs. Here we're speaking about a detail. When it comes to a detail, you have to have real edus. You have to all the details, in other words. When it comes to all the intricate details, here you have to have an edus. Why? Because in order for a Yid to really be committed to all the details of the Torah, a general remembrance that I have to do what I have to do is not enough. Because I can remember that, generally speaking, I need to do what I'm supposed to do, and whatever, between the cracks, things could fall, and whatever, I'm still okay, right? The vast majority of things, I'm still okay. So the symbolic sign isn't enough to keep a Yid on track at every detail. What keeps a Yid on track in all the details? Says the Rebbe, this is only Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh means that a Yid is committed 100%, that he's 100% committed to doing everything that Hashem wants, because the essence of his neshama is connected to Hashem. The problem is that essence of his neshama that's connected to Hashem is not something which is always revealed. Oftentimes it's not revealed, it's hidden. And therefore, in order for a Yid to arouse Mesiras Nefesh, he has to have something which is going to reveal something hidden in his soul. Now, the Alter Rebbe has an expression, in the Kutta Torah, where the Alter Rebbe explains that, again, based on Halacha, Halacha says that what type of things do you have to have a real testimony, real edus for? Only something which there's no way to know it. Now, there's something which is never going to be known unless the witnesses testify, then you have to have proper edus, proper testimony. But what happens if there's something that's going to be revealed anyway? Sooner or later, everyone's going to find out about it. It's going to be in the paper tomorrow. So if something's going to be in the paper tomorrow, no one's going to lie about it. Today, the witnesses are going to come, they're going to say, tomorrow, everyone knows about it. So if everyone's going to know about it, for that, you don't have to have witnesses. And therefore, there's many, many leniencies in halachos of edus when it comes to something that everyone's going to find out about tomorrow. So the Alter Rebbe explains that the concept of edus, the Alter Rebbe there is speaking about the different types of mitzvahs, edus, chukim, and mishpatim. So the Alter Rebbe there explains that the type of mitzvahs which are called edus is, again, like the halacha of ed, is that it's there to reveal something which was unknown otherwise. Says the Rebbe, in our context, what does that mean? Again, we're speaking over here about Mesiras Nefesh, the commitment of Mesiras Nefesh, which means I'm all the way in, I'm not going to miss any detail. Again, in order to do that, I have to have the most hidden part of my neshama to be revealed. Says the Rebbe, to have the hidden thing revealed that nobody knows about, that nobody's aware of, the sasum shebe neshama, the hidden part of the neshama, the yechida, for that you have to have real edus. Because real edus is something which reveals something that otherwise would be hidden. So that's why, when it comes to Hazinu, which is the details, which is everything, which is the bris, the covenant, which is to make sure that we do everything right, that we have to have Mesiras Nefesh. And in order to reveal the Mesiras Nefesh, the essence of the neshama, which is often concealed, says the Rebbe, for that, again, using Rashi's language, for that, you have to have Sha'atem Eidai, you're going to be the witnesses. Again, the witnesses' job being to reveal the essence of that neshama. And therefore, for the Parshas Hazinu, for what the Torah is, for what Rashi's teaching us the novel testimony of Hazinu, for that we have to have a full witness, real Edim, on behalf of Shemayim Haaretz, of the heavens and the earth.